Do you guys mind if I sing my song while I do some of this?
On a warm, bright September afternoon, Taylor Keene is singing to the corn.
Yon off, oh, yon off, hey, Nate. Way yon off, yon off, oh, yon off, hey, Nate, oh, way.
Keene wears a cowboy hat and Wranglers and a traditional bead necklace. We're behind his home in Omaha walking through his backyard. It's a maze of cornrows and a carpet of pumpkin vines.
Well, this is what was formerly known as my backyard and is now home to the four sisters. We have corn, bean, squash, and the sunflower.
They're called the four sisters because of how they work together. The beans climb and fertilize the corn, sunflowers hold them up against the wind, squash keep the raccoons at bay. There are tomatoes too, and okra, gourds, sage, and sweetgrass. Today the corn is ripe and ready to pick, but it's not your typical yellow corn. Keene raises varieties that were once common on the Great Plains. There's indigenous popcorn, there's flint corn that can be ground into cornmeal. Keene pulls down an ear that looks like sweet corn, but he uses it to make flour. It's called Cherokee White.
While it's predominantly white, we see these wonderful pastel purples and dark blues and goldens and even a pink or two in there.
Keene is a business instructor at Creighton University. He was never a corn grower, but his ancestors were, the Omaha tribe in Nebraska and the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma.
Corn, especially here in Nebraska, is synonymous with apple pie. But Indian corn is only ornamental and is sold only around Thanksgiving time. And most people don't even think it's edible, but where does corn come from? It comes from us.
Keene wants to reclaim those farming roots with a project called Sacred Seed. With help from students and some urban farmers in Omaha, he's raising indigenous crops on about a dozen plots around the city. The goal is to preserve these native vegetable varieties and revive the traditions around growing and eating them.
I totally think that these items belong on menus.
Dan Watts is a chef at Spencer's, a high-end steakhouse in Omaha. He says most people have never tried preparing this kind of corn. But once you know what to do, Watts says this old corn fits in a modern kitchen.
Like, you can make a great cornbread with it, right? You know, you can grind it down into polenta, grits, tortillas, and the nutrient load is massive.
Watts says indigenous ingredients also fit in with the trendy local food scene. Some varieties are sold by heirloom seed dealers like Seed Savers in Iowa or Baker Creek Seeds in Missouri. But Sacred Seed also taps into a growing movement in Indian country called food sovereignty, a movement where food traditions mix with identity politics.
This is a movement to really reclaim agriculture at a local scale.
Robin Kimmerer is an ecologist and writer and a member of the Potawatomi Nation.
It's political because it resists industrial agriculture. It says there is another way.
Planting indigenous seeds instead of high-tech hybrids can reintroduce vegetables that have mostly been lost. She says projects like Native Harvest, started by the Ojibwe in Minnesota, or the Cherokee Seed Exchange, value tradition more than technology.
People are really taking control of their own food supplies by growing their traditional varieties, by learning again to collect and gather from the wild.
Beautiful air.
Taylor Keene says in the 19th century, the Omaha were prolific corn growers and traders. And while indigenous corn is not going to overtake the industry that feeds ethanol plants and cattle feedlots, it might provide a few jobs for tribal members.
In my mind, I envisioned a future where everyone in my tribe could be corn planters again, that somehow we could sustain ourselves, economically self-reliant again with these crops.
Keene believes looking to that past is one way to help his people move forward. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Grant Gerlach.